This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Forget no way they crucified Jesus Christ. I'll never forget no way they sold Marcus Garvey for rice. I'll never forget no way they turned their backs on Paul Bogle. Hey, hey.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. It is that time of the weekend when you look forward to Guardian Radio 96.9 at its best. The program Remark with your host, Goss Maynard Roseborough, and co-host Darvin Russell here in the studio. And of course, you know, we had a fantastic week last week. If you missed it, I often try to keep you entertained, educated, and informed. But of course, we cannot do any of those things without you. And so we want to welcome you back to yet another show. And I want you to let your family and friends know that we are still here alive and well and giving thanks for the breath that we breathe. And, you know, just before we launch the show today, I just want to give us a reminder. As I thought about life this week, I don't know why. I know we lost some great ones along the way, and they have already been buried, and some people would say moved on. As we are still here, I often wonder why some of us are the way we are. And when I say that, I mean that, what is the purpose of us being here? Some people for their entire life only want a job, whatever that job is, and they want to go to work for better 9 to 5. I know some of you work shift hours, but if that's all to life, what is a few measly dollars? What is owning a car, your Honda, your Toyota, your little Daihatsu, your Suzuki, you know, your Nissan? What is that? You know, what does it mean to own a house, whether that's a single story, a double story, or triple story? What does it mean to own a 15-foot Boston Whaler or a yacht? You know, why are we so caught up on such measures? Because the truth be told, if we cannot love each other, if we cannot encourage each other along the way, if we cannot find measure to express forgiveness and room for grace and mercy extended to each other, if we cannot stop from being envious and jealous and backbiting and just simply too possessive and obsessive, what use is all of this if we all end up at the same fate? Life is to be lived. Life is to be enjoyed. Life is to express love toward each other. And so today I just wanted to pause just a minute for us to reflect, to simply just understand that live, move, and have our being. Let us give thanks for us being created, the people that we are. We are a special breed. And imagine that. Through all the universes and planets beyond, God took time to create you. You are so different. You are so unique. There's no one that ever existed that is just like you. You just happen to be that person that the universe needed. And I just want you to, and for those devils out there, well, you know, we only wish you would change your ways, but if you don't want to change your ways, we wish you a speedy goodbye. As soon as you can find your way out of here, the better the planet will be. And I know that sounds harsh and cold, but some of you are just demons. And we don't need any more demons, especially in our paradisical country called the Bahamas. And so if you have no good intention for our country, no good well wishes and well-being for the fellow citizenry, we wish you would move to another country. Just don't stay here. Because we love and appreciate the citizenry that we have here. And I just had this somber moment this morning when I woke up to just make it real. And so thank you once again for coming to Remark. I am Garth Minard-Roseborough. We will invite you to have a conversation today. Last week, we wanted to talk a little bit on entrepreneurship and that type of a conversation. And we had someone in the studio who blessed us with such a resume that we got a little political for a short stint. But, you know, we had to try to bring it back to entrepreneurship. We never got there. But the culture that she exposed to us, the need for culture, the need for recognition of who we are, was very well expressed to the point where when we left here last week, Darvin Russell, the people just simply said they enjoyed the show. And so I know we are political in just about everything that we do, but today we just want to express a little bit of culture. And you know, I'm a sneaky guy, right? I wanted to begin my vacation today. You know, I leave tomorrow. But I wanted to just lay back and observe this one. But as we talk about culture today, Darvin, I got to throw you a little boomerang, if that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
You slip a little immigration in there today. You know, we got some immigration matters. I don't think you can have a good, solid culture if you got too much people coming in and changing your culture. So I hope you have something to do with immigration here today, because we got some serious immigration wolves in this country that have to be addressed. And I think that is one of the greatest threats to culture in our country. Yes. And another threat that we would have is that when we do not pass on the stories to our children and their children, of course, culture will be under threat. And so it's going to be a cultural show today. It is going to be piloted today by none other than Darvin Russell. And, of course, he will introduce his guest. But I got to throw out some numbers to you today. First of all, for those people who want to be a sponsor of the Remark Show, and you know, people have called me and said, man, you can't get another half an hour, you can't make your show longer, you can't find another time slot. Listen, that only happens when you become a sponsor. You know, it takes money, and Guardian Radio also has to pay its staff. You know, we thank Wally, who's here today, to assist us behind the boards. But, you know, the man got a family, he got to eat, I got to eat. And if you want your business to grow and you want to eat, then go ahead and sponsor one of Guardian Radio's 96.9 shows. You know, we got a whole plethora and long lineup of shows that you can participate in. And Remark, I know, is your favorite. You know, I got to say that. You know, Remark got to be your favorite. But if it's your favorite, you got to give your favorite some gifts. And so be sure to call management 302-2300, 302-2300, and talk to April or Miss Lee, and just find out which of the shows you would like to participate in or sponsor, or to have market and grow your business. I have to also throw out just a few more numbers today to ensure that you can call in today and participate. And those numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from our family of islands, toll free, you can call 242-300-5720. Or you can simply text if you're at work and you don't need your manager, your supervisor, your boss to look over your conversation or listen to your conversation. Text us at 422-4796. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Fresh News, Smart Talk all day. You know, you can find us on Facebook and all those other features, GuardianTalkRadio.com. I know some people even watch us and see what I was wearing. Last week they saw me, Linda, wearing my little pea suit. I say, my God, you know, I try to work on Sunday sometime and come here to the show. And, you know, like right now, I just came off a roof. You ain't gonna believe I just come off the roof in all this heat. But listen, man, let's get this show hopping and starting. And I'm going to let Darvin Russell take the wheel. And I'm going to take the first class chair. And I'm going to be right here with you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Remark, your co-host, Darvin Russell.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Sunday, May 25th, 2005, in the beautiful Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Yes, it is indeed a hot Sunday. I don't know where this weather came from, Garth. I was in D.C., as you know, last week, dealing in the summer with 50 degrees.
Beautiful weather.
So I had to carry a light jacket and just a few 3 hours flight back home. You land in 85 and the low is 82.
Yeah, you're burning
so
up.
Welcome back home. So in studio with me today, Garth knew that I came to talk about entrepreneurship and he talking about immigration. But nevertheless, we'll find a way to weave these two subjects together. So last week we had Miss Linda with us, as Garth calls her, an Eleuthera beauty. She is in studio today, but we aren't talking politics today. We're talking entrepreneurship, and both she and I are entrepreneurs, and I'm sure a lot of you out there listening to us are entrepreneurs. So we're going to try to have a robust conversation around where we are as a nation with entrepreneurship and how to put a plug in for Garth to support and be an obedient co-host.
No, you don't have to plug it in.
No.
You can save that for when I come back. You can save that for when I come back.
How do you feel immigration impacts entrepreneurship?
There you go.
So I have satisfied my duty for my paycheck. So, Linda, introduce the people and let them know what you're about, and we can get this conversation started.
No mic, because you're so used to talking to everybody, you don't even want to use your mic today.
I'm so sorry.
Just speak right into that mic.
Evening, it's 5 p.m., everyone, and I'm Linda Stubbs, and I'm an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur for about, a long time.
You don't want to tell us your age with your pretty teeth. That's okay. Go right ahead.
The most profitable aspect of my life and my career as a working person happened during the time of my entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. Other than that, someone dictated what I was worth on a weekly basis by determining what my salary was going to be. Mm-hmm. And I figured that out, and I looked at my heritage, my family heritage, my history, and I realized that all of my family members, from my grandparents to my parents, were basically entrepreneurs. And so it was just natural for me to fall into the category of an entrepreneur. And I tell you, it's the best of times for me. Darwin.
So what area of entrepreneurship, if you're comfortable saying, are you currently in now? Are you occupying the space as an orange economy entrepreneur in the creative space, or do you have an unrelated business that you are involved in now?
Definitely, we can say the orange economy, like your orange shirt.
Mm-hmm.
That's as much as that part of it goes.
Okay.
But yes, I am a creative.
Okay.
That has not been, in my opinion, a functioning space on a governmental level. I don't know how it has been for you.
No, sure, yeah.
Yeah? So nothing has happened. Mm-hmm. It was given a name, and that was it. I can't think of anything that has happened in that space that we can say, you know, I went through this process and I got this done, et cetera. So no, for me, it really and truly is based on my own name and all that I have done down through the years.
Okay. All right. So folks, y'all know me. Y'all know I love data and like to have conversations around facts rather than feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So let's listen to me for a minute so that I can kind of set up this conversation and contextualize what we're talking about today. So here's where we are in the Bahamas. We have around 23,000 licensed businesses. So those of you that are note takers, take some notes. 23,000 businesses. 98% of them, Ms. Linda, are considered small businesses, medium, small, micro, small, and medium enterprises, MSMEs is what we call them.
Mm-hmm.
The employment base of the Bahamas, 47% of those employed are employed by MSMEs.
Okay.
MSMEs contribute 20 to 30% of the Bahamas' GDP. So although they contribute almost half the employees, they only contribute no more than 30% of the GDP. Now, let's compare and contrast that to large European nations. I believe I have that data somewhere in here as well. Okay. On the OECD-based countries, those countries represent, in OECD countries, 99% of all of their firms, SMEs, employ between two or three workers, and they generate up to 60%
wow.
of those nations' GDP compared to our 30%.
All right.
You see that? So, but they represent a larger well,
yes,
right?
Yes, of course.
So they are about double the contribution to GDP.
Right.
And they're also, it looks like, you could argue double the amount of businesses, not in total in terms of a percent of the economy. Although ours says it's 98% and theirs is 99%. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty close. Mm-hmm. So that would indicate to me is their small businesses as a community
yes.
are generating way more for their GDP than we are. Mm-hmm. They also mention that 93% of their businesses generate less than $2 million in revenue, and only 7% had revenue of less than $50,000. I'd wonder if we have that breakdown for the Bahamas. So
I doubt it.
When you hear information like that, it's clear that around the world, mm-hmm. SMEs represent a significant contributor, both in employment and in terms of GDP performance.
Right.
So you have to wonder now, historically, we as a country, we have been disproportionately focused, I would say, mm-hmm. as a government, I don't know how you feel, in focusing on large anchor-related projects.
Because the government's mindset mm-hmm. is jobs.
Okay.
They don't necessarily promote or even encourage in a meaningful way mm-hmm. entrepreneurship.
Okay.
Okay. We don't get the support that we need.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is just basically enough to get you in trouble
mm-hmm.
and leave you to hang yourself,
okay.
more or less.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Not enough support is given to entrepreneurship.
So right now, because I like to be factual,
go ahead.
The Small Business Development Center was formed under the former Minnis administration
okay.
to help facilitate this. We all know that the Bahamas Development Bank was tasked, that is their primary responsibility,
mm-hmm.
To lend funding. We know they have been challenged with that because of their capitalization.
Right.
But we have to be honest, as well as entrepreneurs and as Bahamians in general,
mm-hmm.
Bahamians have not historically been paying back their loans to the Bahamas Development Bank.
Okay, well now that's a different
right?
scenario.
So it's one thing to say the government isn't doing enough or anything,
mm-hmm.
but we also aren't doing our part by paying back the debt that we borrowed.
Okay.
What the government helps facilitate for you is not free money, right?
But let me ask you a question
sure.
to that end. Wasn't it the responsibility of those that were charged with the responsibility of loaning the money
yes.
to do the feasibility studies and all the rest of it that
absolutely.
Goes on? And weren't they also supposed to be giving them support along the way?
I am not sure how you wish to define support.
Support meaning monitoring
mm-hmm.
their businesses, ensuring that the funds are being spent the way that it was intended.
Okay.
And that their businesses, the business idea that they brought to the government was viable and doable and that they could succeed.
So there is the notion that bankers do that in a very limited degree.
Okay.
Right? So we would vet, because I'm a former banker, I did banking in the United States prior to coming home.
Mm-hmm.
So we would vet, as you say, the viability of your business plan.
Correct.
Right? We would say, you know, well, Linda, this looks like it's going to cash flow. You have sufficient collateral. This looks like a viable business idea.
Correct.
What they don't do, though, is a whole lot of what we call in the industry post-funding support.
That is
so after we've given you the check
yes.
and you've used it for the purposes, you bought the inventory, you bought the equipment, you put some money in the bank for working capital. Mm-hmm. After that, most traditional banks take a hands-off approach and allow you to do what you do.
Hmm.
The SBDC has recognized, the government in its infinite wisdom has recognized that that is a gap in the market.
It
they
is.
Have been tasked, one of their tasks, is to help support that post-funding support. But you're talking about a very small...
Very small.
Microcosm of businesses that they can support.
Correct.
The SBDC, I think, to date has facilitated funding for about 60 million businesses, or $60 million in capital.
Okay.
Maybe less than 100 businesses you're talking about. And what did we say? 23,000 businesses in the bucket. So we're talking about a drop in the bucket. $50 million was what was allocated, I think, in the first year of the program under the previous administration. This current government, I think, in the last 3.5-4 years, hasn't even contributed or facilitated $50 million in total for the 4 years, right? So we know that there is, to your point, nothing meaningful on the capital side being done. Outside of capital... You mentioned the support, which is the post-funding support that we talked about. What other things that you, and those of you listening as entrepreneurs or would-be entrepreneurs, what other things would you like to see the government do to facilitate a more robust small business environment?
Well, Darwin, what I have discovered along the way, and if you were to take a close look at the type of businesses that are succeeding, they're basically food-based businesses.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So now maybe you can check to see the convenience stores. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the convenience stores. Mm-hmm. They were, or that people call the mom-and-pop shops.
Yes.
They were thriving. They were doing well. But then we have another grouping of people that came into our country.
Yes.
And is dominating, all right? And those are basically the Chinese. Mm-hmm. They are everywhere. And, you know, they are among the 80% that God spoke about last week, like the fast food chains. And so now the mom and pop stores that are traditionally the Bahamian convenience stores, they're not doing as well as they would have. All right. So is the government paying sufficient attention to how they distribute licenses to foreign entities in our country?
Okay.
And what effect is that really having on Bahamians?
That's a fair question. So is the retail space, the convenience store space, relegated exclusively to Bahamians? Is that one that's that a foreigner is not allowed to have a license in?
That I can tell you. Okay. Maybe you can check that out and see if that is the case. And if it's, in my opinion. Because if nothing else, people must eat.
Yes.
Okay? So food is a demand. Your business will either meet a need or a demand.
Yes.
And so food happens to be that one that is in demand. And I hate to say it, but so is alcohol. It's a demand. And so... Now we have these foreigners that are in among us that are selling both the cooked food, the raw food, the
and
fruits,
the
vegetables, and the alcohol. What is left for Bahamians? It's like we have disappeared in our own country. I mean, like, who cares about us? Which government really cares about its people?
So let me challenge you on that.
Challenge me.
Let me play devil's advocate like Garth likes to do with me.
Darwin, you got, I don't want to break into
break
your flow.
No problem.
But I just want to bring it to your attention. What has that money spent by the SBDC produced? What can be shown for all the money given? And the SBDC is a joke, my friend. That's the first one, okay? The other one is saying, Garth, is your guest suggesting that Darwin is the co-host? And Ms. Linda wants to come on as one of our co-hosts. So so I don't know if I can use the word guest any longer. But, you know, we enjoy them being here. But is your guest suggesting that the government or the needs to fund the startup and ensure business are a going, I guess maybe growing.
Going concern, probably.
Concern and are successful. Is this truly reasonable? And as a former auditor, I can say this, the success of a business is solely the responsibility of the owner or owners. Those are your two questions right there.
That's a great statement.
Great question. All right, so I'll take the first one.
Okay.
So what has the money by the SBDC produced? I can't give you the full, I can't ventilate that because that wasn't my area. I actually worked for the SBDC for a period of time as a consultant, working with the IDB. So I know of what I speak. The money that the SBDC, it comes, most of the $60 million has been used for grant funding. So I'm sure those of you that are in the entrepreneurial space pay attention to all of these Facebook messages, your LinkedIn profiles, their sponsored ads, where they talk about the various program, whether it's for disability, whether it's for young people, whether it's for men, whether it's for women. They carve up the pie in a multitude of ways. But the long and short of it is they have grant programs and they have lending facilitation programs. A lot of the grant money, $20,000, I think, or less, money that you don't have to repay, but it's used for you to start or to grow your business. Those loans that they help facilitate are in any number of categories, in agriculture, in retail, in any number of areas, right? Fishing and farming. The problem is, though, as I mentioned, it's such a small amount of money that even with their best efforts, they're not able to impact in the kind of way that we would want the entity to impact.
Absolutely.
So I'm not blaming them because the idea is a great idea. We can argue and debate whether or not the execution is optimal, but the idea is the right idea. Mm-hmm. So your second question was, am I suggesting that the government or the SBDC is responsible, I guess, is what the person is saying, in making the business successful. I actually am not suggesting that at all.
Neither am I.
And I don't think Linda is at all. I am just saying to you that if you take your mind back, what people I think sometimes we don't understand is how a lot of other countries facilitate entrepreneurship. Right. And you, when you begin to travel the world or study what goes on around the world, you will see how far behind we are in this space.
Totally.
And it's not that you don't recognize as an entrepreneur that it is really your primary responsibility, but no man is an island. Not even an entrepreneur is an island.
Correct.
So I have several successful businesses that I didn't get a dollar of government funding for, that I bootstrapped, saved, launched, and as one became successful, I funded the others with the money from the one.
Correct.
That's not the average experience of an entrepreneur in the Bahamas.
I've had the same experience.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I've also opened businesses that have failed miserably and cost me a lot of money.
Correct.
So I've been on both sides of this equation. Mm-hmm. I would say to you, though, the government is not responsible, but we do want the government to be able to facilitate in a meaningful way.
My point.
And improve the probability of success.
Yes.
And for me, personally, what that looks like is not only the facilitation around funding, but it looks like more training opportunities. It looks like linkages with international partners for sourcing of supply. Mm-hmm. It looks like guaranteed loan programs which exist. It looks like providing me a partner in a larger market that can help facilitate access to me to that market for my product or service.
Right.
Those things are very meaningful. And you can extend, and I'll tell you something because this is near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. You do realize, for those of you that don't know, and I don't want to get too much in the weeds, but I wanted to get what's called, I believe it's an e visa, right?
Okay.
An e visa allows you to open a business in the United States and facilitate your work permit.
Right.
The Bahamas is not eligible for that visa. Bahamians are not eligible for that visa. Jamaicans are.
Wow.
Barbadians are.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Now, when you call the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, who is tasked with those visa arrangements, you get no response, no reply, and no one can give me a definitive answer. Even the great relationship I have with the U.S. Embassy, they were actually surprised that we weren't eligible for that visa.
So
right now, let me finish ventilating this point, Linda. Mm-hmm. So right now, if you wanted to go and open a business in the United States, you can do so, but you have to incorporate it there. It gets a little bit more complicated. And then you being allowed to work in the business that you own without access to that visa, you have to go through the green card process. And we all know how cumbersome and difficult that could be if you're not doing it through marriage. So I just want to put that out there for you guys to recognize that small businesses in the U.S. also have what's called the 7A program through the Small Business Association. It is a fantastic program. They have grant programs for any demographic you can think of. They also have loan facilitations through places like the U.S. The Farm Bureau there, the U.S. I think it's not the USDA, but the U.S. the Farmers Bureau, where they help you get land if you're going to use it for agriculture. They facilitate your lending in those areas at concessionary rates. They allow for much lower down payments on commercial loans, much longer terms on commercial loans. So there's a lot that's done outside of a traditional banking relationship. They also have very robust crowdfunding platforms and available for small businesses. So there's a lot going on. The very crowdfunding platform we had with AwakX, I think they were only able, before they had to shut down, to fund two or three of the offerings. That's not enough. So there are a lot of things going on. So Linda, sorry, I just wanted to get that out and answer his question thoroughly. Before I allowed you to move on.
Listen, you said a lot. And there's so much I want to say to what you said. Mm-hmm. And that is, first of all, the U.S.
Yeah, she can go ahead. But
we're
going to take a little quick
break, right?
Let's take that
Linda's
break
ready to explode. But listen, call your friends, call your family, let them know. Remark is on. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Wow.
On the Owlet's label, I sure hope that she's still able. So this evening around 5 o'clock, I'll stand at her bow and see the dark. Out in the field from dawn till dusk, swimming in the blue pool is a must. That island where I was born, the first thing I'll do is throw some corn.
Wake up early one morning, kiss my mama goodbye. Going back to the island, I say don't worry, mama, don't cry.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
See, we're good for you.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
This is Remark, and I am guest hosting today, along with my partner in crime, Garth Roseborough. This is Darvin Russell in studio today with Miss Linda Stubbs, and we're talking entrepreneurship today. And right before we took the break, I was talking about how entrepreneurship facilitation differs in other larger countries. So Linda and I, during the break, were having a conversation around whether or not certain industries or areas of the economy should be closed off to Bahamians. And while we have that, we know as a policy in certain spaces, I believe retail is actually one of those spaces. We know that historically in the Bahamas, there have been workarounds, right? We used to call it back in the day fronting. For a foreigner. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Bahamian's name is on the license, but we know that they don't own the business, right?
Still so happening.
What industries do you believe should be reserved for Bahamians, or do you believe that all the entire economy should be closed off?
That happened because we're a developing nation, okay? Mm-hmm. My problem with your view is simply this. Mm-hmm. There has to be something reserved for Bahamians. Mm-hmm. We know, and as I have said to you, your business will either fit into two categories, a need or a demand. Luxury items and all the rest of it should be looked upon by people with disposable income who can funnel and pay whether they sell a $300 pair of Gucci shoes or not. Mm-hmm. But things that are of demand, like food, like water, like all of the essentials that we need as Bahamians, should be Bahamians. Okay. It bothers me. It disturbs me. Every little area, every area of this country that you go, especially over the hill, it's dominated by Chinese.
Yes.
Providing food to Bahamians.
Why do you think that is, though?
Obviously, they have the money. And the way they do things, according to my understanding, is they help one another.
Okay.
All right? They help one another. Whenever they're bringing in a boatload of them, they come and they set up shop. And those who are here already, making all the money already, they're going to assist those that are... Okay, so here is the...
And they're doing this without Bahamas government support.
This is the Bahamas is not their government.
Okay.
All right? Which is why I feel the Bahamas... I'm passionate about this.
No, man. That's why we're here. I'm scared of this conversation.
Okay? This is why I believe the Bahamas government is what we would say in colloquial terms. They're only stroking us.
Okay.
They give you enough money to get in trouble.
Okay.
And then they boast about helping small business people. And, you know, by the time you would do your leasehold improvements, by the time you would probably pay a month or 2 months of rent and light and all the rest of it, maybe some salaries along, your money is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. They're not serious. They're playing with us.
Yes. So
they're toying with us.
No, I love your passion. Here is what I would say, though. If you take that down its natural path, I think what ends up happening, though, is we create a group of entrepreneurs that aren't as resilient as we need the entrepreneurial class to be. And here's why I say that. Just like us as parents, there is a balance that must be struck between support and enablement. At a certain point, when does the Bahamian entrepreneur allowed to fly? And I only say it because of this.
Listen.
We got plenty of time, man. We're in no rush.
Listen.
Let me say this. As Howard would say, let me be decent. But let me say this. If you take, for example, you and I are old enough to know that many of the businesses that you speak about today in the subsegments that you speak about were historically owned by Bahamians. I grew up, I am old enough to remember corner stores pre any Chinese ownership. And I have, in my lifetime, watched that change. That government policy or lack thereof, that was more a function of us just being out entrepreneured by this grouping.
Well, they should not be allowed to come into this country
entrepreneur us. That's a different conversation.
Listen, it's all relevant.
Okay.
All right? Mm-hmm. And I feel that there are to always be reserves for your people.
Okay.
You're selling us out on every level. You have entrepreneurs who are coming into this country. They're doing the hotels.
Yes.
They're doing all the major investments.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're coming into our small communities and they're taking over the crumbs that are left for the Bahamian people. And I'm speaking like a politician.
But seriously,
you can hardly recognize this country anymore. It's become such a melting pot. You go down Bay Street.
Mm-hmm.
They're Indians. You go over to Chinese. Mm-hmm. And in between, there are some Jamaicans selling their food.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing...
The Africans selling the tires. Yeah. Oh. No, we got it.
And
everywhere.
The cars. Mm-hmm. And so, listen, when is the Bahamas going to be for Bahamians? Mm-hmm. What percentage is reserved for Bahamians?
Well, I wanted to stay on this conversation, Mr. Host. As you know, for you people who are listening in, let me throw those numbers out there really quickly before I make my comment. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family violence, 300-5720, or you can text us at 422-4796. Linda, I don't know, before we take this call, 2010, 11, 12, We had the road project where we reversed the roads and dug up the roads.
Yeah.
And all the small mom-and-pop businesses were affected.
Yes.
And it sent all the business over to the Marathon area.
Right.
Things like this do affect Bahamian people. Now you need special business licenses, and you got to catch a little bit of hell to get the VAT and the TIN number and all the rest of these things. And you got to tip somebody in order to get yourself to be legal. And then you got to pay your fees and your national insurance. It gets a little bit cumbersome.
Yes.
But let's hear what the caller has to say, Darvin Russell. You got a call on the line.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Remar.
Caller, go ahead. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, go ahead.
Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. But you know what the problem is, right?
Yes, sir.
The problem is the Chinese and the mother of the foreign business.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't pay that much duty on certain things. See, you, as a businessman, I've been in the business for almost 10 years.
Yes, sir.
I lose my shop and everything on it. Number one, when you get a business, you get BBL. Mm-hmm. They charge a whole different, price. Where a residential could pay $60 for the internet, right?
Yes.
A business, a Bahamian business trying to start. When I was in business, the internet only was 1 meg. It wasn't even 1 gig.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard to get on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I was paying almost $600
a month?
A month for the internet.
Jesus.
And phone. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So I was happy when they had the I had to get the residential, and the residential was paying only by much $70.
Mm-hmm.
Small business, so you don't generate no money or nothing.
Hmm.
Number two, bringing things in this country,
mm-hmm.
to bring things in this country in,
yes.
That would kill the small man.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to be competitive with them Chinese and all them Chinese and bringing, they stick together, they buy trailers and share them out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You understand, like,
yes,
so the
sir.
Government got to find a way where they could have they could drop this part down in this duty for these small business. That's what's killing us all.
So let me ask you a question. I don't want you to run. I want to ask you this question, if you don't mind.
All right.
I like to talk to entrepreneurs that failed like I did before they became successful. What did you learn from having to close your business? Like, if you had to do it again, what would you do differently to give yourself a better chance of being successful?
I wouldn't rent a shop no more because it was too high.
Okay.
I was still online. See, you buy everything is Amazon and all the rest.
Yes, sir.
But then rent online. They predict, and then yet 20, 30 something or something like that.
Yes.
A lot of shops them will be online. And you can see a lot of shops in the States now are closing Amazon and eBay them is beating them back.
Very true. Very true.
So I wouldn't open a shop tomorrow. I'll wait from it. I'll wait from home or however this small, because you don't need no big. Because Amazon them didn't start out no big.
Very true.
Big. One way else you can find, you could wait with an 8x8 or 10.
Mm. I appreciate you, my brother. No man, I love that contribution. Thank you so much.
Online business is the best, and you wouldn't pay. You see the government them, and then me dealing with My dealing with getting my business license is that I listen to you. Right now, I still have a business, no.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have no business license.
Mm-hmm.
I want to pay the government, you know. But what they can carry you through, they get, and what happened is soon. they told me that I owe them $1,000. What happened is I did not bring on revenue to shut down it. But I thought when you close out national insurance, all of them connect together.
Okay.
I didn't go on. So when I went to open the business back up, they told me I owe them over must be $1,500.
Because you had arrears from the non-renewals of your business licenses.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah,
okay.
I didn't shut them down. I didn't owe them no money, no. But that's what they told me.
Mm-hmm.
They said, man, you're still being opened up. I said, I was still being opened up. If y'all should have sent your agents around and investigate,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's why the government, that's why we have so much problem right now. That's why they have so much on the table, and they have so much crookedness going on in the country. A lot of people them want to get a business license. So in this country, you don't need no business license.
Mm-hmm.
You could work, you could sell things in this country without a business license. And the government, the way how they designed it like that.
Yes.
That's why the government is not getting.
Because too much of it is underground. Too much of it is underground because you're making it too difficult to be legitimate. Is what you're saying?
Yes. And the people want. Listen, because every people want to get a business license.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to get a business license. They approve me, you know. And when they look at the woman, look at it again, the woman say, oh, this hurt me.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, she stopped my business. I lose my money because I let someone, you know, there are people out there
mm-hmm.
who
facilitated. Yeah.
I lose some money yesterday. And I never went, you know, I didn't have my business no more, but I'm still operating.
All right. Thank you, my brother.
All right.
Have a good Sunday. So that's a great example of what humans deal with on a regular basis. So there are a couple of policy decisions that we could make, right? To echo the point that you were making about how can the government really, really help. One, we can do amnesty programs, which we've had, which you've done in the past, but we did it more for property taxes, I think, Garth. I don't know if we've ever done it for business licenses. That's a very meaningful effort and with very minimal cost to the government to get more businesses registered and back in good standing, if you will. Mm-hmm. The important from a policy perspective, if you want to go down the road, Linda, of blocking off certain segments, I would actually prefer if the government, especially for the folks in retail, if they allowed for the importation of your inventory to be duty-free until it's sold. So you don't pay that at the border, kind of the way in which Freeport was constructed with its bonded area, mm-hmm. but it doesn't work like that for retail establishments, to my knowledge, in Freeport. Not even they have that concession. Mm-hmm. I think that would be very helpful in allowing businesses to bring in as much of the inventory as possible to then resell it and own. Do you pay the duty? And at the end of the year, you can do a valuation to say this is what's left in inventory, mm-hmm. and this is what you owe the government for that stock that you have on hand. But what was the point that you were wanted to make? Yes,
I mean, you know, you have taken this another step,
mm-hmm.
and we have not exhausted the fact.
Man, exhaust.
Okay, that I need to see a Bahamas for these Chinese,
mm-hmm.
Indians, all of them. They need to leave our country.
Oh Lord.
Okay.
Oh Lord, what you saying?
And give Bahamians mm-hmm. a real chance
mm-hmm.
to enter into these same businesses
mm-hmm.
with the concessions that you're talking about.
Okay.
And give them a praying chance. Mm-hmm. I just feel that we're playing and toying with Bahamians. We've been toyed with for 52 years. It has to change. We need a real lead.
No, I'm just being
okay?
provocative. No, I don't want you to beat me up now. I just be a decent man.
You know, I'm ready to fight
yeah,
for my people.
Yeah, you
around
me. I feel like my mommy on the side of me or my big sister. Why? I don't know why you're around me like this.
Listen, we need a real chance in this country.
I agree.
Bahamians need it. I need these foreigners mm-hmm. to just like leave. It's just too many of mm-hmm. them. They're everywhere. And so you, from base to South Beach, mm-hmm. it's just saturated mm-hmm. with these people, these foreigners, all right? And so we now need to have a moratorium on how many of them can exist in this country.
Across the board.
Across the board. We need a moratorium because right now it's a free-for-all.
My Lord, Linda.
Linda, you'll be heating people up. You got to call on the line.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. This is Remark.
Caller, go ahead.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'd like to go to the show, please.
You're on air live.
Oh, yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Russell.
Yes, sir.
I would like for you to please elaborate on that item you mentioned briefly called amnesty with national insurance.
Yes.
Business cycle. Can you please go in a little more depth with that, please?
Certainly, not a problem. Thanks for your contribution.
Thank you, too.
When you talk about amnesty programs mm-hmm. in any country, especially when it comes to amnesty around taxes, the argument why some people don't like them is such. If 98% of the businesses are paying it, mm-hmm. why do the 2% that aren't get a pass? That's the argument against it.
Correct.
The argument for it says everybody to participate, and sometimes there are legitimate bona fide reasons, as the caller spoke about earlier,
right.
that you can actually go and evaluate the veracity of his claim to say whether or not he is a candidate for the amnesty program. You don't have to make it a blanket program, but amnesty says we forgive your transgressions mm-hmm. and we will let you start from the beginning.
Correct.
If the government doesn't do that, what you in essence do is you create an underclass or an unregulated word,
yes,
of businesses that are still operating but aren't paying their quote-unquote fair share of taxes. That's why amnesty programs have their place in the whole compendium of opportunities,
mm-hmm,
and strategies, I should say. So another text comes in. Good evening. I think the SBDC and the government want to pick who gets the money from startup. I think some consideration should be given to existing businesses that have skin in the game. Businesses that have been around 3 years to 5 years should get funding to help them scale their business. The SBDC actually does not have any prohibition whatsoever for existing businesses. It's not only for startups. The flagship program that I was responsible for before I left is the guaranteed program that is co-funded and sponsored with the help of the Inter-American Development Bank. Mm-hmm. So you can apply to them to help scale and grow your business. So whoever that texter was, I encourage you to call them and reach out. If you have challenges, then we can talk about what those specific challenges are to try to get some of those roadblocks removed.
Darwin, the red tape is,
you wouldn't
just
believe you got another.
No, the red
call.
Tape stunning. Is unbelievable. I've dealt with it. So that's the reason why most of my businesses, I try to focus on businesses that I have the least amount of government involvement in, yes, besides, okay, just getting the license.
Yeah. Caller, go ahead.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon.
He has remarked. We got, but he's two fiery
people.
Dime,
but you're getting up there, but it's my second time, so you know you're listening.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, but anyhow, I want to say kudos to you guys for this topic, right? Because the lady inside.
Linda, Miss Stubbs.
Linda Stubbs.
The wonderful, eloquent lady.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we need to protect the citizens, man, you, mm-hmm, know, because what type of country sit box and allow other nationalities to come and sit on their, mm-hmm, citizens and still wanting to have citizens?
Yeah.
How does this work?
Exactly.
Fair.
How does it supposed to work?
Mm-hmm.
You discarding your citizens, marching them up, bringing other citizens to make sure that they have money to send out of your country, mm-hmm, every week.
Yes.
But it ain't important for your citizens to.
You're breaking up.
Go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Go ahead. You're back.
It shouldn't be refighting for the possibility of our citizens even being able to have vacation. But at the end of the day, right, bottom line is, some of the industry, the taxi, mm-hmm, and the parts of the tourism, mm-hmm, right?
Yes.
Banking, all of these things who I'm supposed to be, are allocated just specifically for BM. And,
that's correct.
But that ain't the case today, because
no,
if you go inside, you go, the taxi, them can't speak English. Mm-hmm. They ain't no way Market Street is. Mm-hmm. They couldn't tell you where First Street, the Grove is. Mm-hmm. Right? And then when you go downtown, it's the same thing. The tourists, them, they confuse, wondering if they're in a different country. I thought they came to the Bahamas, mm-hmm, but ain't nobody sound like BM is here. I mean, so what are we doing?
Yes.
What are we doing?
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your contribution.
See, listen,
ahead,
man,
Linda,
after my own heart, mm-hmm, okay?
So you're saying I'm not. Linda, you heard my feeling. Don't worry. I got my mommy call you after the show. You don't,
Darwin,
careful now.
Listen.
Careful.
Darwin.
I have an army of supporters, you know. You stay right there talking bad to me and you're roughing me up in studio.
Listen.
Go ahead.
Listen, on a serious note,
I
didn't even think about the cab drivers, mm-hmm, and all of the drama, mm-hmm, they are encountering.
Yeah.
I have seen videos on social media, mm-hmm, where the police are harassing them. You can't stand here. You can't ask, mm-hmm, for a job. What in the hell is going on in this country?
Mm-hmm.
What is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Every effort to put their feet and keep it on the necks of Bahamians. Mm-hmm. And I have a problem with that.
I can see that. I want you to drink some of that water. I hope that's water and not nothing stronger. Caller, you're on the air. You're on Remark. This is Darwin and Garth. Caller, shut your radio off, please.
Turn your radio down.
Good evening. How y'all doing?
We're wonderful. How are you? What's your contribution?
I'm just calling to congratulate you guys on the show that you're having.
Thank you.
It's time to get a powerful lady inside.
Oh, yeah. She ain't playing today.
Oh, that's your friend.
What party you keep from?
Linda represents the COI, but we ain't talking politics today. We talking business.
No, but I know you're talking. You ain't talking politics, but I mean, it sounds like her party got like a lot of good ideas for the behaving people.
Well,
I mean,
you
got the Chinese. You know, the Chinese taking over, like she said. You got the Indians downtown, and then the Chinese. They don't hire behemoths. They always hire Haitians. Why?
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Well, I've heard some stories of, earlier today, with regard to why Bahamians aren't being hired. And
by whom?
By these foreign entities, okay? They claim that Bahamians don't want to work. They want to take extended lunches. They come to work late. All manner of complaints. Now, listen, I'm now thinking, what can I do to...
you, Linda.
Me, Linda.
Okay.
To motivate Bahamians to change their ways and become serious about getting along, getting ahead in life, and stop taking such a lackadaisical approach. Mind you, we say Bahamians, but that's being a little bit disingenuous in my opinion.
Okay, and what
because many of us are hard workers.
Yes, it is.
Give us an opportunity and we will fly. All right? So there are some of us that want to sit under the tree and smoke the joint and drink the stitchy, etc. I know that those people exist, but they exist everywhere.
They do.
All right, so that's not exclusive to the Bahamas. So I'm saying let's find those, Darwin, who want this opportunity. There are a lot of people out there that are hungry and want this opportunity. But why? They cannot, they don't know where to begin. And then you start your processes and then you get midway and you get frustrated because the red tape is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So don't stone me when I ask this question, okay?
Because I know you're passionate.
I asked you to drink some water to calm down. But okay, don't stone me. Do you believe that entrepreneurship is a right or a privilege?
I'll answer it this way.
Sure.
I believe that entrepreneurship should be an entitlement to a citizen. Of any country.
That's a strong word.
I know. And let them refuse it. Not because it's not made available to them. And I'm not talking about toying with them, underfunding their projects, and then expecting them to meet their monthly payments at the bank. Okay? We need to get past this. And I honestly believe that post Milo Butler and all of those pioneers of entrepreneurs, black entrepreneurs in this country, Bahamians are just toyed with for the most part. I really believe that.
Here. Okay. All right, Linda, we'll have to stick a pin in that. When we get back from this break, we'll continue our discussion on entrepreneurship. You are listening to Remark with your host, Garth Roseborough, and in studio is Darwin Russell and Linda Stubbs. We'll be back.
Just like investing, is about consistency and having the right partner. With RF's Advantage Plus brokerage account, you get exclusive access to high-return securities, some yielding up to 7%, plus expert investment guidance. No need to chase every opportunity. We deliver priority trading, exclusive investments, and the lowest commissions, so you can focus on what matters most. Sign up for an RF Advantage Plus brokerage account today at rfgroup.com. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
This is Garth Roseborough, and the program is Remark here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM here in the beautiful sunny Bahamas. Listen, folks, man, it's going to be a hot summer, but Remark will also be hotter and hotter as the days go by. So if you enjoy this heat, you continue to tune in every Sunday, 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. If I'm not here, Darwin will be here. And surely if Darwin ain't here, we know Linda will be here.
I know I ain't coming back.
And so listen, man, we got to throw those numbers out to you today. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 300-5720, or you can text in at 422-4796. This show today is being hosted by none other than Darwin Russell, your main guy, and in studio, Ms. Linda Stubbs. Darwin Russell.
Boy, getting beat up. Anyway, more texts coming.
We love we do.
Thank you. You are rubbing my wounds now, Linda. All right. So the texts are coming in over the lines. Challenges are these: government institutions practice favoritism. Oh. They don't give the money to the most merit, but to who they know and like. Persons who work in those institutions make sure their people get straight. And why do Haitians come up in every issue we have in this country? The problem is us. Heavy. Next X. Entrepreneurship should be based on merit. Your idea should be worthy. We need to fire people in government who steal other people's ideas. That needs to stop.
That is awesome. That's an awesome
I believe point. You just sent that text, Linda. I think you... That's what you think. Let us just send a text to ourselves.
No, listen to me. Mm-hmm. I want to take you into another space.
Absolutely.
And that is entrepreneurship through mm-hmm. culture.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in this country is suffering, as far as Bahamians are concerned. Everything is suffering. Why do I say that? In culture, first of all, culture... it's the heart and soul of any country.
Agreed.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Over the past, I would go as far as 15 years,
mm-hmm.
culture in the Bahamas was dying. Mm-hmm. Now, it's in ICU,
mm-hmm.
on life support.
Okay?
We barely are hanging on by threads with Junkanoo. But every other form of culture, where's the Pandora Gomez mm-hmm. kind of people mm-hmm. in this country?
Mm-hmm.
Where are the James Catlin and friends of the 20th century?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we had Jumbe Village.
We did.
Which was more or less the epicenter for culture in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
That has been taken, demolished, and made a basketball court with some bathrooms and grass. Okay? It doesn't exist anymore. And it wasn't replaced.
This is your area, but let me say it to you from a different lens, if you will.
Can I finish?
I want you to think about this as you answer.
Linda, want to finish us?
I'm not going to detract her. I wanted to think about this as she answered when she says that they haven't been replaced. I just want to challenge that point because I think that they have been replaced.
Where?
The genre, it just looks differently. It's
where?
Dasokwe, it's Soya Boy, it's Shinjin. That's what I'm saying.
We got to call on the line. We got to call on the line. Linda got to let you finish. Call on the line, go ahead.
Call up.
Caller, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm calling. I would like to know the stadium, if
yes.
government has paid for that or that was given free.
It was a gift by the Chinese embassy to the Bahamas government.
You think that is a gift? I don't think so.
That's my understanding. It was a gift. That's how it was reported to us.
The way how I feel.
Yes, ma'am.
That is not a gift. They are not telling us.
Mm-hmm.
That is the reason why you see all these Chinese shops open up all over the place.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
I'm with you, miss.
So you're saying that that's the payback for giving
yes,
us the stadium.
That's the payback.
This
that's
is the
reason
quid pro quo.
They open up all mm-hmm. the stores
okay.
all over the place.
Okay.
I'm with
but they're not telling you that.
I think the Chinese shops predated the stadium, but I understand. Maybe their proliferation is what you're saying.
The proliferation.
Has increased since we were gifted the stadium. That's a, okay.
That's a theory.
The next point
yes.
I would say too.
Yes, ma'am.
Bahamian work in the Chinese store.
They do.
If a Bahamian person have a little position in the Chinese store, and I am speaking from experience.
Yes, ma'am.
And what they would do, they would just frustrate that person working in the store.
Mm-hmm.
They let them do all kind of work for little or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Little money. And the point about it, they do Bahamians really, really bad. So that's the reason why Bahamian people really don't want to work in there.
Mm-hmm. That's a fair
the problem.
Point. That's a
they
fair
work
point.
The whole week, but
for
just pittance. About little over $100 and something a week. People
My
can't
God.
Live off of that.
No,
My
I
God.
Agree. Thank you, ma'am.
They can't live off of that. Because at the end of the week, the lunch, what the child would buy,
mm-hmm.
The money is finished.
Your ends just don't meet, certainly.
No, it don't mm-hmm. meet. And if you stay off one day, they cut you for that. So the children get frustrated with it because my son was in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that was frustration all over the globe. I'm telling you, the Bahamian gentleman who was in charge, calling himself supervisor,
yes, sir.
They were wasting an infidel.
Oh, Lord.
Mm.
And I'm regretting that word, but I said.
Thank you, ma'am, for your
I'm
contribution.
I'm telling you that from experience.
Mm-hmm.
I experienced that head on.
Mm-hmm.
And I know exactly which Chinese I'm talking about.
Oh, my
God.
Well,
if you come to me, I'll tell you exactly
yeah, don't call him on there,
what
okay.
goes on in there.
Thank you, ma'am.
I'm serious with that. Government needs to look at it because many of these stores,
mm-hmm.
you have environment health, don't even go in there to check it. They get paid under the table.
Oh,
so, come
Lord.
On. You all know better than
okay.
that. Come on, let's
Alrighty,
get this thing together.
Have a great Sunday. Thanks for your contribution. Go ahead, Linda.
So, the government presented us with this orange economy concept.
They did.
I don't know how effective, because I've not heard anything.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I don't know what they're doing, if anything was ever done in the orange economy.
Mm-hmm.
But as it relates to my people,
mm-hmm.
my cultural people,
mm-hmm.
culture is suffering in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Artists are starving. Musicians, I saw them. They went on this all-star kind of
mm-hmm.
event to the Turks and Caicos.
Mm-hmm.
I said, thank God, they'll eat for maybe a month,
mm-hmm.
hopefully. But we don't even know, Darvin.
Yes.
What is Bahamian music? It has never even been defined
yeah. mm-hmm.
in this country.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
The bigger question, what does it mean to be Bahamian, has never been defined.
Well,
mm-hmm.
because to be Bahamian mm-hmm. in 2025 has gone to the bottom of the totem
mm-hmm.
pole, and foreigners are at the top.
So what let's talk Let's talk serious now. So
now
what,
I am serious.
What would you like to see? What would you like to see as a cultural icon for us to be able to monetize this orange economy? What are the policies and the programs that you think we're missing that would really turbocharge this industry and create employment and ownership for Bahamians across the board?
Of a new visionary government.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Who has vision.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one thing we had was on the cruise ship dock.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson Burnside had designed a cultural area out there,
yes.
cultural space.
Uh-huh.
We had Bahamians in there working, and to the best of my knowledge, some people were. Right? So here we are as junkanooers who go into our pockets.
Mm-hmm.
every year
mm-hmm.
to put on this thing called junkanoo. The government give you token amounts of money to make it happen. It's such a slap in our faces
mm-hmm.
as Bahamians. But they want to use us when it's convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And then they took down the old museum from the cruise ship dock.
Yes.
And now there's a new one owned by black oligarchs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with no trickle-down effect to those people who put their hands in their pockets every year to put junkanoo on twice a year. You see, this is so frustrating to me. And I'm really, really passionate about it. I'm angry because I'm just sick
drink your water.
Of being
Darwin. No. Let me help you. Let me help you with some policies that I think are pragmatic. And you'll actually like this. You're gonna beat me up with this. You like this. So a couple of things that I would do. One is I do love the idea. I've always felt as though, for example, you should have the Dundas Center or some performing arts center in a state-of-the-art facility right downtown. You should be able, as a tourist, to walk off the cruise ship within a very short distance, go and see a Bahamian play every day of the week. Matinee showing, you can walk in, let the artists and the performers do 30-minute plays. You can get people in and out for a nominal fee. It allows you to pay the actors, fund the maintenance of the physical facility. Mm-hmm. That's what I would like to see. A second thing that I would like to see is I do agree with you that I think certain spaces and places should be 100% Bahamian-owned. I do not agree with the idea that downtown is so foreign-influenced. I think that's wrong. I do not believe that as a Bahamian, in a subsidized rental arrangement, like what we have at Potter's Key and Arawak Key, you should ever be employing foreign cooks, servers, and certainly not owners of those establishments. I have a fundamental problem with that.
Listen.
From a Junkanoo perspective, I do believe that we have the capacity to create, once again, downtown, a state-of-the-art Junkanoo Museum that requires an admission fee. I remember I was in Washington, D.C. a few months ago visiting my daughter, and we had a glorious time together that weekend. And one of the things she took me to do was to go visit the African American Historical Museum. Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Fascinating. There is no reason we can't have, because we are the first gateway to the New World, a slave museum, a Junkanoo museum. Charge small admissions. We should have a museum or a cultural experience where you come to Nassau and you get to taste all of the islands of the Bahamas in one facility. There are many things that we could do from a cultural perspective that allows us to monetize the industry and fund those things that aren't for-profit enterprises like Junkanoo. But before you start talking, you don't like them ideas? No, before you beat me up again, though, Linda, just say,
let me take
say
my
you
call.
Like them? You don't like none of them?
Linda,
all right, go on, Linda.
You
can't give me no credit, God. It was some good stuff.
Caller, go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, God. Good afternoon to your co-host.
Go ahead, my brother.
To your guest.
Hi.
What's on your mind today?
Show, but I like what I'm hearing so far, and it concerns me because I'm a creative also.
Okay.
And I have something that's wonderful, man. I mean, I have something that's never been seen before in the Bahamas.
Tell us, man. We're curious.
I mean, that's reality.
Yes.
But the thing about it is that I some of the things I think, like for one, the major problem we have is because I had text about the people in government. It wasn't a lady sending a text herself. That was me.
Okay.
And I feel as if
thank you.
One of the major problems we have is when you take your ideas to these individuals in government who's supposed to facilitate it, right?
Yes.
They don't perform the duties and the job that they are there for.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Sometimes mm-hmm. most of like you know it's a common saying that you take your idea to government and they steal it.
Yes.
You understand where I'm coming from? So you're sitting down in front of people who's supposed to help, but they have money, dollar signs in their eyes, mm-hmm. looking at what you have, and mm-hmm. then they take a piece of it, don't even bring the thing to the full potential, because yeah. what I have can employ hundreds of people in a sustainable economy, could create a new industry.
Yes.
But taking my idea to them, they want to take a little piece of it, so the hundreds of people who would have benefited from my vision
mm-hmm.
don't benefit anymore, but mm-hmm. but the couple of people who in government agency who ain't supposed to be looking at my mm-hmm. idea like that, you understand, they're using it to benefit and get the benefit from my idea. You see, mm-hmm. and we need legal avenues that based on ethics, man, mm-hmm. something like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We need to be able to deal with these people, because there's no way in the world we should. I don't care if it doesn't affect you. Indifference is a very serious thing. You
it
know
is.
What I mean? We need to stop being indifferent and start to act when things are just not right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not right when people in government agencies are paid to do a job and they ain't doing it.
No.
You understand where I'm coming from?
You're speaking truth.
It's like,
for sure.
It's like this thing go from the politicians straight to government. Mm-hmm. It's like it's a government thing, period. It's like everyone who works for government don't do their job, man.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
I do.
In this country, we complain about government.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Mm-hmm. And the lack of service and the lackadaisical attitude the government has. You understand? But mm-hmm. like I said, if it's one thing we need to do, is we need to get individuals who have the ideas. We need to get them the proper funding. So, and I would love to talk to you offline, sir, because I'd love to show you what it is I have. But, you know, I went to a particular government agency, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I went to a number of them. And this particular one, it's a big time one.
Okay.
And I went to them, and they used to have commercials all over the radio mm-hmm. talking a time ago. Like after I've been to them, they start, their commercials were based upon, because I left them my executive summary, something that I said I wasn't going to do.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And when the gentleman, because the gentleman read it, there was two individuals in the room, and when the gentleman, when he read my executive summary, I mean, he was excited, but when he read my executive summary, this man started to recite to me my executive summary. Hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. As if he got, my executive summary opens up to says that I want to revolutionize the craft industry in the Bahamas.
Craft?
That is the opening line in my executive summary. This man get up and say, I want to, it's him talking now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He says, I want to revolutionize the craft industry in the Bahamas by doing what? What ideas did mm-hmm. he have prior to looking at and reading through my executive
yes.
summary? Do you understand
yes,
where I'm coming
I
from?
I do,
But like I said, sir, seeing that you, an individual mm-hmm. who was involved in that type of funding mm-hmm. type and program mm-hmm. and stuff, I just want to show you what it is that I have.
No, man.
Do you understand where I'm coming from? I mean, it's a pity that you don't have a producer where I could leave my number, but I would love to show you what it is that I have, and I'd like to see if you are serious in helping me mm-hmm. to bring about an industry, a new industry in this country, sustainable one, that not to create jobs, mm-hmm. but that will create entrepreneurs, because these individuals will learn skills that they can work on their own, mm-hmm. and then we can have it like a not individuals like competing against each other, right? I want this to be where as we work as a team. Mm-hmm. You understand? Because there are many products that I create, and I want to develop it into a market and into an industry where we don't compete with one another, but mm-hmm. where we work with one another, and we the people can own this industry. But like I said, a lot of changes need to happen in this country because we have too much corruption, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I get sick and tired every day, day in and day out here, and I'm talking about the corruption, man, and ain't nobody trying to make no kind of moves to correct it, man. You understand where I'm coming from?
I do.
But like I said, I mean, I know I run on a little bit because
no problem. That's why we're here.
I went to the phone, but I would love to talk to you, sir, because like I heard you say you are dealing with the FBDC
yes,
or whatever
sir.
The case, whatever you call them people.
Yes, sir.
Because I just want to show you my idea, and when I show you my idea, you're going to have to confess to me that it's the greatest idea you've seen from a single Bahamian created in your life.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
Interesting.
807-3236 is my number.
807-3236. 3236.
Yes, sir.
Darvin, right?
Darvin with a D.
Boy, people are talking.
Yeah, Darvin with a D. D-A-R-V-I-N.
Oh, Darvin.
Yes, sir.
My apologies.
No problem, man.
Newsome, right, or something?
Russell. Two S's and two L's.
Russell.
Yeah. So you can text me after the show.
I definitely
But then he had his opportunity going
thanks
right.
Thanks for your contribution.
And thanks for the opportunity.
Right
on
the
day. And to the lady on the show, I wanted to meet you and work with you because you seem as if you have a sincere desire to do the right thing for the people.
She
you
does.
Know what I mean?
She does.
And people with sincere desire can make things happen.
And she got a belt under the table.
I have a very simple solution and mm-hmm. something I want you to bear in mind, caller. COI.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, no.
We ain't let her talk, say it. So we let you put that plug in. Now, Linda, you have to say that the ideas that I suggest were the good ideas, Linda. Come on, man, Linda.
They
Let's be fair now, Linda.
They were a little excerpts of the master plan.
Okay, listen.
And the master plan, the vision, similar to what you said.
She going down a political road.
You understand? She got the whole laptop thing.
Linda, give me one second. I know we don't have. I know how the show go. I gotta give y'all another chance again.
Man, go ahead,
come back.
Go ahead, man.
But I got another.
I tell you, she can't come back, God. She all my back, all mark up from her beating me all show.
Okay, so here's what your taxer says. Good evening. I think the SBDC and the government want to pick who get the money mm-hmm. for startup. I think some consideration should be given to existing business that have skin in the game.
Yeah, that's the one that I read. Yeah.
So you read mm-hmm. this one already?
Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
Okay, now you got another one then. Garth, good show, but I don't understand why some Bahamians criticize Chinese-owned businesses mm-hmm. without acknowledging that many of them are built on strong family support systems where the mother, father, grandparents, and even extended family all work together. Mm-hmm. We should look inward and work on strengthening our own family structures and relationships. A strong family unit is the foundation before we can successfully build and sustain a Bahamian-owned business. Honestly, when the last time you saw a Chinese woman struggling alone with two children, mm-hmm. let me tell you, heading to NIB wearing worn-out slippers. Mm-hmm. Last text before this one here says, listening to your guest, one would think that Bahamians has absolutely no chance of this country in surviving in business. My brother and I is in the process of building a 25-room boutique hotel. We apply for grants, and we're getting all the grants that is given to foreign investors. Mm-hmm. I believe, it goes on to say, I believe, I'm going to read on here, sir, we need to encourage our citizens how to take advantage of the grants and assistance the government is offering to us. It is just too much negativity stuff, in my opinion. Those were your texts.
Great contribution, Texas. We appreciate those.
So in terms of the Chinese families, mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. go to China.
Mm-hmm. My Lord, Linda.
Yeah, mm-hmm. go to China mm-hmm. and build your businesses with your family. Mm-hmm. Leave this tiny little country called the Bahamas
alone.
Leave it for Bahamians. Mm-hmm. Give the families in the Bahamas a chance to be able to do something similar. We don't have the opportunities, and like you know, mm-hmm. Chinese come with an advantage. 99% of their product come out of China. Mm-hmm. They buy together, they ship together, and they distribute, okay? The Bahamians don't have that leverage. Nor does the Bahamian have the support to that extent. The only place it's going to come from is our government. Mm-hmm. They control our sovereign wealth fund. Mm-hmm. And if we were getting it the way that we should have for 52 years, mm-hmm. and if they try to give it to us this mm-hmm. election, I want it retroactive.
My Lord.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And so if we were given what we should have been getting, mm-hmm. you would have find that this would not even be a discussion mm-hmm. today. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm mm-hmm. saying?
But that may be a discussion for us in the future.
It may be.
I think we can have to discuss that too now, Linda, because we got a culture now of indifference in this country.
We
have a culture that is very, very...
jaded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we got to talk about that in mm-hmm. one of these shows mm-hmm. upcoming, you know?
No, we need to.
This has been remarkable. Listen, Darwin Russell has been here. We got time for one more caller, Darwin Russell, which is on the line.
All right.
This is your last caller. Go ahead, caller.
Caller, you're on the air.
Go ahead, caller.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, hey, how you doing?
Hey, Z. Allen.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, you got to shout your number out again for me. When you talk about the orange economy,
yes,
the problem is that we have no infrastructural or even a blueprint for how it's executed.
Okay.
And people often just repeat it over and over. First mm-hmm. of all, the Bahamas economy is generally about 60 to 80% part of the creative, and it's not just simply junk canoe with everything else. Mm-hmm. If you look at even the Chinese economy, the Chinese economy is 40% of the creative mm-hmm. industry. The creative industry is no longer simply the art. It's actually utilization of the various different models. Out of the 30 different models that we speak about in the Bahamas, mm-hmm. every single one of them has a creative aspect. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that we don't have full understanding of what the creative economy is. And this is why you hear people put it as part of their platform.
Yeah.
But if you ask them to explain the infrastructure mm-hmm. and then break down the subsection, basically of the 30 different things that we keep saying is possible in the Bahamas, most of them can't. And they'll come up with things to say, we'll do this, we're going to do this, and we're going to empower it. Mm-hmm. But then you say, how is it a part of the creative? How is it part of the digital? How is it part of the AI economy? How is it part of all these different, various different models? And you will not be able to have it explained. And that's why when you hear the statement concerning the attack on creatives, and you say it's not a real job, that's because we don't understand the substructure mm-hmm. of it. And I wish I had more time to go into the details of it. But if you want to just search for the orange economy mm-hmm. by Eden Mary Johnson mm-hmm. on the internet, and she just basically touches it. And I think she'll be putting out a new one in about a week or so in light of what the Prime Minister said.
Thank you, C. Allen. Have a good Sunday.
Hey, listen, Darwin, great job. You know, we're about to get out of here. Folks,
God, I ain't come back no more.
Who fired you?
I ain't come back no more. Linda done fired me at least 3 times today.
Linda said you ain't give her a chance to talk.
Tonight?
Yeah, you don't give her no chance to finish nothing what she wanted to
say. What? You know, he...
She had a laptop, a phone, her cup. She had everything in here. Finish that?
And then she trying to slip COI.
You
at,
understand?
At the
end.
Listen.
Manifesto she trying to go through.
Listen. I got to take care of my people, and I need the Bahamian people to know you have an advocate.
But give out your 1 minute shout out then, Linda, because we got to get out of here. 1 minute shout out. Give it to whoever you want to give it to. Guardian Radio loves the entire Bahamas. Who you want to give a shout out to, Linda?
I want to give a shout out to the people of Mount Moriah, my people, and I want them to know you have a creative who will be standing in the gap and fighting for you in a real way. We're going to change the narratives of what has been happening in Mount Moriah for the past 4 years. And probably even beyond that time. And so, Mount Moriah, I love you, and I will be there for you, and I'll be there to see you soon.
And Mount Moriah, you continue to support Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Listen, for this upcoming season, Darvin. See, Darvin don't give no shout out like that, but for this upcoming political season, listen, man, you got to come bring your business to Guardian Radio 302-2300. You call Guardian Management Staff. We can promote your campaign. Dwight Strawn and his team will be waiting for your call. And for those people who want to sponsor a show, you can call by the same number and tell them Remark is my favorite show with Garth Roseborough and Darvin Russell, the one who just got fired from Ms. Linda Stubbs. And listen, man, next week we have Uncle Sarah and Paul Miller. I do have to go and see my mother very quickly and come right back. And so you're going to have a great show next week lined up for you. And then, hey, when we get back, you think we should let Linda come back again to finish what she ain't say yet?
Jeez.
I'm not going to bring a belt the next
no,
time.
No, I ain't coming. You go.
All right, folks. Hey, we're out of here. Lady T is next. And y'all have a great show today with Lady T. Thank you for tuning in. And so long.
Listen.
By the laws of men, by the laws of men. Oh,